Dear friends, we find ourselves once again to study the book of Revelation. We are pretty close to the end of the vision, and we are now addressing the conclusion of the book. So before getting in the heart of the matter, I would like to highlight a number of things, particularly the fact that there is a striking parallel between the introduction and the conclusion. Practically, all the themes we find in the introduction, we come across them again in the conclusion. We have already seen this in the structure in chiasm, that is, in parallel, in symmetry, but I'll show it to you more precisely. So let's move forward and look at Revelation, first chapter, verse 1. The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave him to show his servant things which must shortly take place. And he sent and signified it by his angel to his servant John. And if we go to chapter 22, verse 6, it says, Revelation 22, 6, then he said to me, these words are faithful and true. And the Lord God of the holy prophets sent his angel to show his servants the things which must shortly take place. Similarly, verse 3, we have a beatitude, Revelation 1:3. Blessed is he who reads, and those who hear the words of this prophecy, and keep these things which are written in it, for the time is near. Chapter 22, verse 7, behold, I am coming quickly. Blessed is he who keeps the words of the prophecy of this book, for the time is at hand. Revelation 22:12. And behold, I am coming quickly. Revelation 1:8. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, says the Lord, who is and who was and who is to come, the Almighty. Revelation 22:13. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. He who testifies to these things says, surely I am coming quickly. Amen. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. Chapter 1, verse 5. And from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead, and the ruler over the kings of the earth. Revelation 22:16. I am the root and the offspring of David, the bright and morning star. In short, you have understood all themes are common. There is a second aspect I want to share with you. This book, whether at the beginning or at the end, provides an incredible number of certification, of assurance, of attestation concerning the accuracy of the text. I would like to highlight some with you. First, chapter 22, verse 6. The angel is the one certifying these things and says, then he said to me, these words are faithful and true. And the Lord God of the holy prophets sent his angel to show his servants the things which must shortly take place. Let's look at verse 8. John is now the one making the same statement. Now, I, John, saw and heard these things. And when I heard and saw, I fell down to worship before the feet of the angel who showed me these things. Then Jesus himself will certify the authenticity of what is reported to us. Verse 16. I, Jesus, have sent my angel to testify to you these things in the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David, the bright and morning star. In addition to these certifications, there is also another element that brings its stamp of authenticity. It is a threat that is found in verse 18 and 19 of chapter 22. For I testify to everyone who hears the words of the prophecy of this book, if anyone adds to these things, God will add to him the plagues that are written in this book. And if anyone takes away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part from the book of life, from the holy city, and from the things which are written in this book. Therefore, here is a document which is particularly important, to which God has ensured special protection. In this conclusion, we'll also find two beatitudes. A beatitude is a text that begins by, "Blessed are those who." Well, we have one in chapter 22, verse 7. We have already read it. It is the counterpart of a beatitude we find in chapter 1, verse 3. Let us read verse 7. "Behold, I'm coming quickly. Blessed is he who keeps the word of the prophecy of this book." And then we have a second verse, verse 14, and that tells us the following. "Blessed are those who do his commandments, that they may have the right to the tree of life and may enter through the gates into the city." Two beatitudes. And then we realize that there is a beatitude that records the action and work of the 144,000. "Blessed are those who wash their robes." If you have noted, in chapter 7, the 144,000 or the crowd, the same thing, washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb, that is, they won victory over sin. Here, this is not the case for everyone, which doesn't mean that salvation is lost. But you see, they washed their robes, and the goal of every Christian is to wash his robe to come closer to the ideal that God proposes. So now, let's begin a systematic study of the conclusion, since we must not forget anything, leave anything aside. Let's read verse 6. "Then he said to me, these words are faithful and true. And the Lord God of the holy prophets sent his angel to show his servants the things which must shortly take place." Who is this Lord God of the holy prophets? Well, we have the answer in verse 16. The Lord God of the holy prophets sent his angel. Verse 16, "I, Jesus, have sent my angel to testify to you these things in the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David, the bright and morning star." So Jesus testifies that he is the Lord of the holy prophets. That he be God is something already acquired. He is the Lord God of the holy prophets. He is the God who inspired the prophets. While this may seem surprising, and often we imagine that Jesus began his work since the time he came to this earth. But look at what he himself says in the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 23, verse 27. Chapitre 23 à partir du verset 29. "Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, because you build the tombs of the prophets and adorn the monuments of the righteous, and say, if we had lived in the days of our fathers, we would not have been partakers with them in the blood of the prophets. Therefore, you are witnesses against yourselves that you are sons of those who murdered the prophets. Fill up then the measure of your father's guilt. Serpents, brood of vipers, how can you escape the condemnation of hell? Therefore, indeed, I send the prophets, wise men and scribes. Some of them you will kill and crucify, and some of them you will scourge in your synagogues and persecute from city to city. He promises that he will send men of God and that these men of God will be persecuted. But what about the past? That on you may call all the righteous bloodshed on the earth, from the blood of righteous Abel to the blood of Zechariah, the son of Berechiah, whom you murdered between the temple and the altar. Assuredly, I say to you, all these things will come upon this generation. O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the one who kills the prophets and stones those who were sent to her, how often I wanted to gather your children together as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings, but you were not willing. Jesus is very clear. How often God wanted to... How often I wanted to gather your children together as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings, but you were not willing. Every time in the past that a man of God, a prophet, arose to bring Israel back to God, it was Jesus who sent him. And he can rightly say that he is the Lord God of the holy prophets. Every time we see that the word of God came to this or that prophet, it was Jesus who inspired him. And this is why John, in his Gospel, begins with these words we are going to read in Gospel of John chapter 1, the first verses. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him nothing was made that was made. In the beginning was the Word, the means of communication. When Jesus said that he is the Alpha and the Omega, he is the Word. He has always been the communication officer between God and man. Let us please consider verse 7. Behold, I am coming quickly. Blessed is he who keeps the word of the prophecy of this book. We have the same idea in Revelation chapter 1, verse 3. And I suggest you read it with me. First verses of the book of Revelation, verse 3. Blessed is he who reads, and those who hear the words of this prophecy, and keep those things which are written in it, for the time is near. Have you noticed that it is not simply said to read, to skip through this text, but it is said to keep it? When Anne and Simeon, the prophets, announced to Mary extraordinary things about the baby Jesus, could she understand everything of what was said? Certainly not. But the text tells us that she kept these things in her heart. Well, this text is a text to be kept in our heart. We can investigate it. We shall certainly not understand everything. But we must keep it so that when events are going to happen, begin to set up, then things will become clearer. But if we have not studied it, we will not see the things happening. Revelations chapter 22, verse 8. Let's read it. Now, I, John, saw and heard these things, and when I heard and saw, I fell down to worship before the feet of the angel who showed me these things. John is doing the same mistake. He already made it in chapter 19, verse 10. Let's go back to that verse. Chapter 19, verse 10. And I fell at his feet to worship him. But he said to me, see that you do not do that. I am your fellow servant and of your brethren who have the testimony of Jesus. Worship God, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. The angel reprimands John, but he reproaches him gently, and he does it in a modest way, saying, I am your fellow servant. That is to say, a transmitter of the word. We saw that there was a whole chain of transmission. God gave the revelation to Jesus, who gave it to the angel, who gave it to John, and John wrote it. Since John, a multitude of scribes must have certainly intervened between the text to reach us. In this work of transmission, the angel considers himself a fellow servant of John. But he tells us something else, verse 9. He is the fellow servant of John and of his brethren, the prophets. As if he was the one responsible for transmitting messages to prophets. And we know one who transmitted these messages to the prophet Daniel. He is none other than Gabriel. Could this angel be Gabriel? Probably. But we have no further details. Let's now look at verse 9. And he said to me, see that you do not do that, for I am your fellow servant, and of your brethren the prophets, and of those who keep the words of this book. Worship God. In chapter 19, he said, I am your fellow servant, and of your brethren who have the testimony of Jesus. And here he speaks of those who have the testimony of Jesus. They are prophets. He also specifies in Revelation 19:10, the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. But why call the spirit of prophecy the testimony of Jesus? It is understandable that the testimony of Jesus is the testimony that he gives to his church through gifts. That's what we are told in the first epistle to the Corinthians, chapter 1. I invite you to read this from verse 5. I thank my God that you were enriched in everything by him, in all utterance and all knowledge, even as the testimony of Christ was confirmed in you, so that you come short in no gift, eagerly waiting for the revelation of our Lord Jesus Christ. The testimony of Christ was confirmed in you so that you come short in no gift. The testimony of Christ is gifts he gives to his church. So the church testifies of Jesus, and it testifies in following his commandments. If you love me, keep my commandments, said Jesus. But Jesus testified in turn that this people is his by giving them with the spirit of prophecy and by giving them gifts in general. Well, There is here a reciprocal action that deserves to be highlighted. And the Word of God shows us that if the message of God's people is based on the Word of God, there is also a side effect that is to be experienced that they must leave. It is the testimony of Jesus. It is the spirit of prophecy. In other words, it is a prophetic message different from each generation, but that will be proved true for the current generation. This is why the prophecy is so important, and I remind you the Beatitude. Blessed are those who keep the words of the prophecy of this book. In order to keep them, we have to ponder over them in our heart, and Mary pondered in her heart the prophecies given by her, by Simeon and Anna. Well, this is an invitation for us to go back to this book, to share it, to talk about it with those who also are reading it, so that we may discover some aspects we had not seen so far. Maybe to discover some achievements we had not seen so far. Anyway, to keep it. And if we keep this book as we are advised, then it will be like a light, as Peter says, a light that shines in a dark place. Is not our world in darkness today? Don't we need light? The book of Revelation is one of the major lights for our time.